Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And welcome to Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster in our studio in Studio B. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
All right. Let's talk about what you have for us today. Do we have a tax court case? What are we looking at today?
Well, Ben, it's the end of year 2018, and we're thinking about tax ideas that we can do to lower our taxes for this particular year. And we're also looking forward to next year to see what opportunities may arise. And this just this past week, the Internal Revenue Service released the annual inflation adjustments for the 2019 transfer taxes. And, Ben, those are mostly known by our listeners as the gift and estate taxes.
Okay. All right. So what kind of changes coming up?
Well, as we know, right now, currently, the estate tax exclusion is at $10 million. However, it's indexed for inflation. And so for this past year, for instance, it was $11,180,000 for an individual. It is now increasing in 2019 to $11,400,000.
Oh, okay.
So that means, Ben, that married couples are going to be able to transfer wealth to the generations to the tune of $22,800,000. So you can see that the increase estate tax exclusion is a great tax environment for for the transfer of wealth. But one crucial idea, Ben, is that we need to take advantage of certain planning opportunities. And for instance, these provisions sunset. We mentioned that in 2026, the estate tax transfer rate goes all the way back down to $5 million unless Congress takes some type of action to make this tax cut permanent. So one of the issues that we had as practitioners was whether or not any gifts that were made while this exclusion amount is so high, would there be any clawback provisions from the IRS saying, okay, well, if Ben, if I gave you $10 million right now and went ahead and utilized a lot of my estate tax exclusion, I could do that tax-free. But what happens if later the amount goes down to $5 million and then I die? Are they going to try to claw back any taxes from my estate at that point in time? And what's happened, Ben, is the IRS has issued some proposed regulations, and they just actually got released just a couple days ago. And these basically say that the IRS is proposing not to claw back any potential amount of tax that they believe they should be owed as a result of the estate tax possibly going down in later years. So if these regulations become final, Ben, it's going to give taxpayers the ability to know that if they make very, very large gifts during this enhanced estate tax exclusion environment, that's not going to affect their estate should the amount be lowered at a later date.
Now, we've had some sunset provisions in tax law before. I mean, some other things. Well, although I don't know if it was a sunset, but it just ran out at one point in time and we went down to zero.
Right.
So, so are there similar, is there precedent for clawing back? I mean, should that not happen?
Yeah. So, this was just one of those areas, Ben, where there wasn't a regulation that was on point. We as practitioners felt that, if you make a gift during a time where the estate tax exclusion is a set amount, that should be tax free and should always be tax free. However, we couldn't look at our clients, and say, yes, 100% that is the case. So what type of planning opportunity, Ben, is this if this regulation does become final? The way that I would characterize it is this an area for individuals to make, fairly large gifts? But not only that, we would want to look at the individual assets. And we've mentioned this before, as relation to the fact that when you make a gift, you give your tax basis, which is how you base your gain or loss, to the individual that you've made the gift gift to. So our example is always, I bought a stock for a dollar. It's now worth $100. If I give that stock to Ben and he then turns around and sells it, there is $99 of gain that Ben is going to have to pay tax on.
Right.
You know, and so that's what we call carryover basis. And so what we're looking at, Ben, in this environment where we have a very large estate tax exclusion is now this regulations that are coming on point saying we're not going to claw this back later, is we really want to take a look at what the asset you want to gift, what the tax basis you have in it is. Because there's going to be certain assets that have very large built-in gains, such as what I just went over, that $1, you know, $100,
sure,
$99
right.
built-in gain scenario, that you probably want to hold on to. And the reason you want to hold on to that, Ben, is because if you die with that asset, then your beneficiary will take what's called a step-up in tax basis for that asset. And what
instead
that
means, of a carryover.
Yeah, instead of the carryover, exactly right. So what that means is it same scenario, $1, $100. If I, instead of gifting that asset to Ben, I die with it in my estate and my will distributes that asset to Ben, then he gets a $100 fair market value step up basis at my death. And then he turns around and sells it the next day. And guess how much gain he has on that, Ben? Zero.
None.
Zero.
None.
Exactly right. So what we're having to do in this environment now, again, with this regulation that's just been promulgated, is to look, you know, and I mentioned it's a very detailed analysis now on estate tax issues, is look at asset by asset. And there's going to be certain assets, Ben, that are what we call high basis assets or mm-hmm. cash, which the basis of cash is always the amount of cash that you give. So there's going to be no gain or loss considerations. And those are the assets that we're going to be looking to transfer if that individual wants to make a gift, during their lifetime. And that's what a lot of times, you know, I've mentioned this scenario before, Ben. We have an individual who comes in and says, Hey, Andrew, I just want to give my house to my kids so I know they're going to get it, you know? And then I
right.
have to take the step back and go, are you sure you want to do that? You know, and then we go through these basis rules that I'm going over right now, Ben, because the fact is that if you bought your house a long time ago and got a very, very good deal on your house, and now it's appreciated in value over time, that probably has a large built-in gain that we would rather you give that asset through your estate than make that gift directly and give your basis to the individual that you're giving it to, which would result in them potentially selling that asset and having to pay a lot more tax.
Is there any difference if a person, again, of significant means is giving away large chunks like this, or if they give it to a charity? Is there any difference in calculating that?
Yeah, so, charitable contributions, again, you would need to look at what the value of the assets are. And a lot of times, Ben, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that. One of the scenarios we have right now for making charitable contributions is potentially using your IRA. And if you use your IRA and you make a distribution to a charity right now, especially in this environment where not many people are going to be itemizing their deductions due to the increased standard deduction, if you can give up to $100,000 to a charity from your IRA, Ben, and not have to worry about including that amount in income. So, and it counts for your required minimum distribution. So, you know, that's one scenario and one tax tip where if we can look at that, if you have to take you're over 70 and a half and you have to take a required minimum distribution, you really don't need the money, but you want to do something for charity, that's a good benefit right there because you're not required to itemize your deductions, but this gift from your IRA would go directly to the charity. They then don't have to pay the tax on it. You get it categorized as your required minimum distribution. Don't have to put that amount in income. And it's kind of a win-win for you and the charity. So that's certainly something, you know, at the end of 2018 that individuals could be thinking about, especially in this time of giving.
Are there some times when you would be using trust here instead?
Yeah, certainly. You know, we could certainly set up trust for you, and depending on whether or not you wanted to make irrevocable, revocable trust. Obviously, if we're doing any gifting, we'd want irrevocable trust set up. And certainly, you know, gifting to trust, or especially if you have young, you know, young individuals, minors mm-hmm. that you want to make gifts to, that's a prime scenario, Ben, where we would set up trust for the minor, and you can make gifts to that trust. And then again, they would just, they could continue to build up for that individual once they've been, once that money or asset has been transferred over to that trust. So yes, certainly a good opportunity there to, especially giving down to generations to create, create trust, for the benefit of these individuals.
Now, as people are making, charitable donations or making donations, period, just at the end of the year here, or trying to, look at that, is there, the fact that they may not be itemizing, is that affecting? Are you seeing that in your clients affecting their giving?
You know, it depends, Ben. You know, we mentioned tax considerations aren't the only considerations. And really the big thing is that, and this is what we talked about last week, is it the idea of maybe bunching your charitable deductions into one particular year is probably going to be popular. Especially amongst individuals who are probably higher, net income individuals, because the idea would be to, again, to take the standard deduction 1 year and then the next year make large charitable contributions in order to take, you know, to itemize your deductions. So that's certainly something I think we'll see, in the future and something that clients can take advantage of. The other thing has been, I just want to make, I didn't quite get to the gift tax annual exclusion, but that amount's going to be $15,000 for next year. So it's going to stay the same as 2018. So just wanted our listeners to be aware of that as well.
Okay. If you want to find out more about taking care of your tax issues, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. You can email Andrew at afoster@harvellandcollins.com and call for an appointment at 726-9050. See you again next week.